Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 196, entitled How to Choose the Right Path in Life and Live with No Regrets, I chat with absolutely nobody but myself. That's right, I'm going to switch things up again on the Elite Man Podcast today and actually do another solo episode. It's been quite a while. I actually don't know, probably a few months now since I did a solo episode, and you guys seem to really enjoy them. I get a lot of feedback when I do these solo ones and a lot of emails. And, well, today's going to be a little different. We're going to talk in a minute about what today's episode is going to be about specifically and dive into some of those key topics. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you are actually going to enjoy this one. But actually, shoot me an email. Let me know at the end of this episode, but in the middle of this episode, maybe even a couple of minutes into this episode, what your thoughts are. Give me some feedback. Let me know if you enjoy these episodes, if you like the solo ones, if you like the content of today's episode and kind of the format of how I'm going to do it. Because honestly, it's a lot of fun. I put a lot of thought into doing this episode and switching things up a little bit. Like, this isn't going to be the you know, every week we're going to do this format kind of thing, but it is fun. And if you enjoy it, then I'll keep doing it. If not, I'll scrap it and, you know, just get rid of the solo episodes. But I have fun doing this every once in a while, jumping on the mic, and I think they're a good switch up, kind of a good change of pace for you guys listening to the Elite Man Podcast. So shoot me an email either way. Let me know if you hate it, you love it, it's cool, or, you know, what you want to do with it going forward. Justin@EliteManMagazine.com. That's where you can always get a hold of me. That again is Justin@EliteManMagazine.com, or comment on the Instagram post that I put out every week on Instagram with the episode, because that's also a good way to get a hold of me. And of course, you can always reach me on Facebook too. If you friend request me, I get the message. If you don't friend request me and shoot me a message on there, it might be months before I actually see it because it goes into that hidden folder. I've had that, you know, issue plenty of times with a lot of listeners who think I'm seeing messages, and they, you know, I go through that message hidden inbox every, you know, 2-3 months, and it's like, you know, I'm seeing people from months ago that are trying to get a hold of me. So Justin@EliteManMagazine is probably the best way, but via email or Instagram I'll probably see a lot sooner. But the Facebook thing is also cool. If you friend me, that works too. But anyways, today's episode focuses primarily, you can kind of get a hint in these title names, by the way, but today's episode focuses primarily on the road not taken, the road, choosing the right path in life. Obviously, how to choose the right path in life and live with no regrets. That is the title of today's episode. But actually, I want to focus on, and we're going to get to that. Don't worry, we're going to get to that and cover that. But it actually, today's episode is based off the poem, one of my favorite poems, actually, by Robert Frost, and it's The Road Not Taken. And I actually included this in the first book I ever wrote, and I actually included this in my first book, Giving Shy Guys Game, way back when. I believe it's one of the first quotes in one of the first chapters, and it is a paragraph, or a stanza, I should say, out of that poem. And that's because that's one of my favorite poems. And I first heard this poem probably 15 years ago, like middle school, 7th, 8th grade or something like that. And, you know, the teacher's just reading this poem. We're doing all kinds of dumb shit that, you know, you're not interested in naturally as a, you know, 14-year-old kid. You know, half the stuff, most of the stuff that the teacher talks about, you totally are not interested in at all. But this poem came on in the middle of class, and I remember just kind of my ears lighting up and just totally focusing on this poem, because for some reason, even back then in my juvenile delinquent mind, I knew that this poem resonated. I knew for some reason, I don't know what the reason was, but I knew for some reason that The Road Not Taken resonated with me. Young, you know, 14, 15, whatever year old Justin Stenstrom, when I first heard this poem clicked with me. Something about it stuck with me even back then. And I knew, even though I didn't really, you know, obviously nobody knows, even though I didn't really know which kind of direction I wanted to head, and I would go through a lot of shit before I actually figured out the right path for me and the right direction, I even knew back then that I didn't want to have the normal path that people take. So although I had a lot of stumbling blocks in the process of finding the path I am on today, I knew that choosing the prototypical normal, you know, 9-to-5 gig path was not the path for me. I knew even back then that I would be miserable if I had taken that path. So even back then, this poem stuck with me. Something about it really stuck with me. And now, even now, looking back on this poem, it still sticks with me. Like, I want to read it actually in a minute because I want you guys to really hear it. And I'm sure most of you probably have heard it at some point in your life. But if you haven't, you know, this is probably going to resonate with you as well. If you're listening to this episode, if you're going through some type of some type of issue in your life, or some type of crossroads in your life, or if you're going through some type of business decision where you have to make a decision on, say, a business or a career, or even a problem in a relationship, you know, marriage problems, or any type of major problem or decision that you have to make now, is certainly absolutely going to resonate with you. Or even in the future, like if you're thinking about maybe in a year from now or a couple years from now making some big type of life decision, this is going to resonate with you. This, I think today's episode will really resonate with you. And this poem, I think, will absolutely resonate with you. And so the poem itself, I mean, it's just a couple stanzas, like four or five stanzas. Very simple, very straightforward. But even back then, I knew how, the profound nature of what I was hearing. And again, it took me a long while. It took me a long time to figure things out in my life. There was a lot of shit that I had to go through, a lot of shit storms I had to undergo before I found my path. But I knew that the path that most people take, and the path that Robert Frost is talking about in his poem that he didn't take, is the path that I didn't want to take either. It's the path that I wanted to avoid. I'd actually rather die, I think, than, I mean, I'm pretty solid actually about that I would rather die than live a life where I'm just unhappy by taking the wrong path. I take the path that everybody else takes, and you know, my life is boring, and it's, you know, there's no excitement there. There's nothing that fulfills me. There's nothing to wake me up and get me to jump out of bed every day. You know, to have a life of mediocrity to that point where it's like everything is the same, and there's no excitement, and you know, you're not doing what you love. That's, to me, that's worse than death. That's just that's like a hell. That's like a living hell, a hell on earth. That's like 60, 50, 60, how long you live for in a career or whatever. That's 50, 60, 70 years of hell. And then you die, and then who the fuck knows what happens after that. But, you know, the time that you made on this planet while you were here, that was hell to me. I mean, that's worse than death. Again, I mean, that's why this poem is so profound to me, because that is a decision that I couldn't make. That is a decision that this guy, Robert Frost, spoke to me way back when. He was speaking to me, and he's basically saying the same belief that I had already. I just never heard anybody else say it. And this guy said it, and you know, he's one of the most famous poets in American history, and it fucking just stuck with me. It really did stick with me, resonate with me. So I want to dive into some of the themes of the poem, but first, of course, I want to actually read the poem to you. And if you haven't heard this poem, again, I think you're really going to appreciate it. If you have heard it and maybe forgot about it a little bit, this is also going to click in, hopefully, and you know, hopefully set you straight. If you're thinking about making a big decision, if you're in the process of perhaps about to be making a decision, or if you're thinking maybe in the future, in a year, a couple of years from now, that you want to make a big decision in your life. Again, whether that's business, whether that's relationships, a personal decision, whatever it is, there's always paths to take. There's always roads to go down. And, you know, it's very important to choose the right path. If you don't, however, I want to make this point as well. If you don't, however, make the right path or take the right road, that's not to say you're going to be stuck for the rest of your life and you're going to be, you know, living in a hell on earth, because you can always get back on the right path. You can always turn around and actually take the right path, or the path that's right for you, I should say, the path that you should have taken before, maybe a different path that comes up that you know, along your way, along the road that you've taken that you're not happy with, there's going to be other paths that shoot off of that you can still pivot and jump onto another road and head down another path in your life. You're not destined to you know, to living in a hell on earth. If you make one bad decision in your life, you can always fix things. You can always fix things. And so don't worry if you're stuck, if you're listening to this podcast and you think, you know, you made a bad decision or, you know, you fucked up big time in life and you went down the wrong path and there's no returning now. There's always hope in any situation. There's always hope and there's absolutely always correcting the choices that you make. And when it pertains to this specifically, there's always that opportunity to jump onto another path and take another road, even if you've gone down, no matter how far you've gone down that bad road, so to speak, you can always jump onto another one and fix things and correct the issues in your life. So don't get down on yourself if you feel like perhaps, you know, you've spent the last 5 years or 2 years or 20 years or 30 years going down the wrong path and you're not happy and you're sitting there listening to this thinking, you know, what the fuck did I do with my life? I wasted my life. You know, I should have did that. Don't have regrets in life. Just think about now and think about fixing things for your future. You can always do that. Maybe opportunities go away. Maybe opportunities disappear as you get older, as things change, as people change, as your friends change, as relationships, as opportunities disappear and they change. That happens, absolutely. But that's not to say that other opportunities and other people don't come along and other chances don't pop up, because they absolutely do. Every time, every moment in your life, there's a different opportunity. There's a different path that you can head down, or a different pivot that you can make that can fix things in your life. So again, if you're making a choice now, if you're in the process of about to make a big choice in your life, about to potentially go down a path, whether that's the right path or, you know, perhaps the wrong path, if you're stuck at a fork in the road right now and you're looking down both paths, if you're thinking about the future and thinking that you may have one of these big decisions to come up and you may be approaching this fork in the road, or again, if you have already gone down a path and you think that, you know, that you want to make a pivot, you want to go down a different path, this episode is absolutely for you, and I think you're going to love it. And with that said, let's dive into the poem. I want to share this poem with you. I want to share what this poem gave to me, and hope it gives to you something back. And if not, you know, if you don't resonate completely with the poem, that's cool too. I still think you're going to get a lot out of today's episode either way. And let's talk about this. So, The Road Not Taken, again, probably my number one all-time favorite poem. There's a bunch of great ones out there too, by the way, but this one is probably my number one favorite. This is probably number one of all of them. The Road Not Taken, though. So, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing there, had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I hope, I love that. Wow, I actually did not fuck that up. I thought I was going to fuck it up reading it. I did not fuck that up. Robert Frost, what an amazing poem. That is just incredible. And I believe actually, I know now, reading it again, that it's that last stanza. It's the I shall be telling this with a sigh stanza. That's the one that I put in my book, because that's kind of, you know, it encompasses everything in one. And it's just really great. What is it? Five lines there. It's probably the best five lines in poetry in history ever written. And I really enjoy that. So let's talk about this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. So Robert is talking about coming upon, and he's looking back on his life, and he actually, this isn't talking in the moment of he's, you know, having this fork in the road and he's making this big decision. He's talking about a decision that he made a long time ago in his life, and he's looking back on it, saying that he saw two different roads. And one was, you know, looked great. It had, you know, nice fresh grass, and it was cool looking, and it was neat, and it was trimmed, it was proper, it looked, you know, fantastic. And the other one was full of shrubbery, and it had weeds, and it was dark, and it was gloomy, and it was unknown and kind of hidden. And he stood there for a while, kind of contemplating which one he should travel by. And obviously, this is a metaphor for a big decision in his life, probably a career choice. And I think the choice of becoming a poet, becoming a writer, which is kind of a rare thing, like that, not too many people do that as a living, make a profession out of that. Most people instead, obviously, and there's nothing against these types of people, or these occupations, or I should say, but most people become 9-to-5 workers. They become electricians or carpenters or store clerks or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And if that's what makes you happy, then absolutely do those types of things. But for Robert and for many others, those types of things, the standard 9-to-5 gig is not what makes them happy. And they got to think about doing something else. They got to think about doing the thing that makes them happy in life. And the one with the career, the one with the nice grass, the one that looks fresh, the one that looks clean, the one that Robert can see miles down and see everything already paved and trim and proper, that's the one that most people choose, because most people are going down that road. It gets a lot more wear, so it has a lot more maintenance to it. People are taking care of that a lot more, and it looks a lot better. It's the safer bet. It's the one with the security. People don't necessarily, for the most part anyways, people don't want to be writers or poets or some kind of artist, creator of something, entrepreneurs in this day and age. That's kind of scary. That's unknown. People don't know what they're getting into when they do those types of jobs. And some people, even actors, for instance, you look at all these Hollywood actors, you see all the big successes. You see the Tom Cruises, you see the Brad Pitts, you see the Denzel Washingtons, but you don't see the guys who spent 20, 30 years trying to become those guys and just got little, background roles in TV shows or commercials, and the guys that, struggle to pay rent every month because they had a dream and they went after it and they didn't make it. They didn't get that big break. They weren't as lucky as Denzel or Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise. And they end up basically kind of fucking being broke all their life, and they don't make it, but they took the chance. Those guys are in my mind are just as not successful, but just as ballsy, as bold, as they in my mind they deserve as much credit as the people who actually did make it, because those guys probably work just as hard, if not a lot of cases harder than the guys that you see have actually made it. So again, actor is kind of the far end of this. Like, that's really sort of an extreme thing to go after, because of all the famous actors out there, and there's probably a couple thousand of them or whatever that are super successful, there's probably millions of actors who never really make it, who never get that big break. And again, it's a fucking tough job. It's a tough road that these people have to endure for a while just to scrape by and try it. But on the other hand, so you look at these people who don't make it, and whatever, maybe these guys, if they were taking advice from me or somebody else, who actually knew about career choices, probably a little better than me. If they were taking some advice, though, they, probably should have had some kind of backup plan. And then, a lot of these guys do end up figuring it out. If you are, say, in that rare case, if you're one of the elite man, the thousands of elite man listeners right now who is an actor and is actually in that very spot where you're struggling to pay rent, then, you still have options. I just said that in the beginning of the episode. I said, no matter where you are, you can still pivot. You can still take that other road. You can still hop on a different road and take that other path, because it's always open to you. There's never no hope for you changing and fixing your life or becoming happy. There's always that hope, and it's always there. So don't worry. Even if you are, perchance, that guy who's struggling to pay rent and you're, a failing or struggling actor, I should say, somebody like that, some type of artist, some type of, maybe painter or writer even, or even entrepreneur. Like, there's so many different roads that you can hop on even now. So don't get down. I'm not, picking on you guys at all. I'm just making a point here and stating the fact of what happens. But anyways, my point with this is, even if you are that guy, even if you are that actor, that writer, that poet, that artist, the painter, whatever, if you are that guy, you can still make that change. But you know, looking back on the people who didn't make changes or who didn't make those pivots in life, who didn't, you know, hop on a different path, they should have, I think, A, had a backup plan where they were still working somewhere else and still paying the bills and then doing this on top of that, like pursuing their dream on top of it. You can still do whatever it is you're going to do to make money. Like Gary Vaynerchuk says this stuff all the time. You have to hustle. You have to work hard. That doesn't mean, you know, drop everything you're doing and go after a dream to become an actor or become a Hollywood actor because, you know, Justin said that on the podcast and, you know, go for your dreams. Yeah, go for your dreams, but don't fucking quit everything you're doing just to, you know, think that you're going to hit a home run and become famous because, you know, I said it on the podcast to do what you love and choose the right path. You can choose the right path, but you still got to fucking make money. So you still got to work. I mean, sometimes that means... Sometimes that means working twice as hard. Sometimes that literally means having two jobs, having a full-time job where that pays the bills, and then having the full-time job where you're hustling, where you're fucking being a writer, where you're being an artist, where you're being an actor, where you're being an entrepreneur, trying to start your own business. Whatever that is, you still have to pay the rent. You still got to put food on the table. You still have to have that income every week, every 2 weeks, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, you still have to work fucking hard. You still have to have money coming in. You can't just drop everything and say, I want to be rich and famous and, you know, that's the path I'm going to choose and I'm great and I'm talented. Yeah, you may be great and talented, but you might not be that lucky and you might not be that one who gets chosen. You might be one of those thousands or, you know, millions of struggling actors who never make it big. You may be one of those millions of artists who never make it big. And your shit might be good, might be great, might even be better than the people who actually do make it. But, you know, you just didn't get found for whatever. There is luck involved. There's hard work, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. That's the most important factor. But there also is a touch of luck involved in this whole process. Whatever you do, there's definitely luck involved. And, you know, sometimes if those dice don't roll your way, you got to have that backup plan. You got to have A, income coming in. So if that means working a side job, then absolutely do it. And B, you got to have a backup plan for if shit doesn't go your way. You choose the right path in life because you don't want to have regrets when you're 65, when you're 50 years old, when you're 75, when you're on your deathbed and you're 85 and your grandkids are there and you're just, you know, looking back on your life and you're unhappy because you didn't make the decisions that you wanted to make. You didn't take those chances. You basically just held on to your cards and didn't play them. You might have had good cards. You might have had a great hand, but you never actually put them on the table. You never took that bet. And that's the worst thing. So there's people out there who failed. There's actors out there who never had their big break. There's painters out there who never had their big break. There's writers out there who never became a best-selling author. And those people, yeah, it sucks that they never made it big. It sucks that that life isn't fair and that they didn't get to, you know, pursue their dreams and just live happily ever after. But at least they took their chance. At least they went out and tried it. At least they played their hand and fucking went for it. So many people in life die before they even die. There's a saying out there. I wish I could remember it, but it's basically like you live. I forget. I'm gonna fuck this up. But it's like you live to your 20 years old or something, then you die. You get a career, and you die before you even die. Like, so as soon as you jump into a career you don't love and you spend 30, 40 years doing it, You're already dead before you hit the grave, before you hit the casket. You're already dead. Your life is over at the age of, you know, 22, say, and when you jump out of college and you get this job that you don't even really like, or whatever, 18 when you get a, you know, plumbing or, you know, carpentry or electrician job that you don't really love, that you weren't really excited about, that wasn't your goal or dream of doing in life, but you just settled for it. You die before you actually die. I forget the exact quote. It's going to irritate me now, but it's something along those lines. It's a really good quote. I'll look it up probably at some point and maybe throw it in the show notes or something. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not making any promises on that, but it's a great quote. Maybe you'll Google it yourself and find that one because it's a good one. But the point here is that you can always make that pivot and you can always fix your life. And no matter how old you are, no matter if you are that actor, you know, you're struggling, you're the writer, you're struggling, you can always fix things now, but you should have a backup plan in store even before that happens. So, you know, if something doesn't go your way, you don't get that lucky break, you can always fall back on something. You always have something lined up. It's the insurance plan. Don't just jump off the plane thinking you're gonna fly. you know, have a parachute there. Have something, have that insurance plan so you don't fall flat on your face, which, you know, is going to happen in various points in your life. You're not going to fall from a plane, but you will, you'll get scraped up, you'll fall, but you won't kill yourself. You won't die because you don't have that backup plan. That's probably a horrible analogy, but whatever, you get the point. Have that backup plan and also have that income coming in every week. Have that side job, have the full-time job, and then, you know, have this pursuit of yours, this dream of your real job, your dream job, have that on the side. You know, if you got to work 40 hours doing something that pays the bills, do it. Then spend 20, 30, 40 hours doing what you really want to do and making that happen. When I started Elite Man, I had a couple of side jobs and it took me a while. It took me probably 2 or 3 years before I really was able to give up the side job. And this just didn't pay the bills right away. This didn't pay the bills for the first 2 or 3 years. It was 2 or 3 years before I started making any money doing this. And it was a struggle. It fucking sucked for a while. I hated doing the other jobs. I hated, you know, working 80, 90 hour weeks because I wanted to pursue this dream, because I wanted to go after doing what I loved. And that was helping other guys and helping, you know, even men and women, because there's a lot of women listeners to the show now. But I wanted to have this resource. I wanted to have this magazine, this online platform where I just had these fucking cool people coming on the website every week and then, you know, the podcast every week. These people that I looked up to for many years. I wanted to have that resource where there was self-help, personal development, greats, legends, top of the chain people that I just loved and you know, read and watched and listened to for many, many years. I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to have a community of that. I wanted to bring these people on and create this awesome resource. But excuse me, that didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen right away. And that didn't happen where I was making money right away from it. That took years. That took a lot of grind. That took a lot of hard work. This podcast itself right now, what are we on? Episode 196. It was probably not until, I don't know, the 50s, 60s, 70 range where I started to really make money from like sponsors and stuff doing the podcast. So it was like, you know, the first couple years of this podcast was I was just talking into a mic and interviewing people and it was all for free. I didn't get nothing back from it. I didn't really have much of a big audience. It was, you know, slowly growing over time. But the first year or two, it was basically shit. But it took a while. I mean, I knew that ahead of time. I knew that this was, I didn't know. Actually, I'll be honest. I didn't know how long it would take. I knew there was a process. I knew it was going to take time. I didn't know how long it would take. I didn't know it would take 2 to 3 years before I would actually start making money from it. I thought I'd make money from it a little sooner. but I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. I knew it wasn't going to be like, all right, I have this great idea, you know, now I'm going to be rich. When I first launched my dating coaching thing and I launched my first website, which was just a dating advice website, back then, I was a little naive with the money and the making money end of things. I didn't know how that worked. I thought I had this great idea. I'm going to launch it. I'll be successful. You know, it'd be so cool. yeah, that didn't really happen. That was a struggle. But, you know, after that, it kind of woke me up and it showed me that this isn't going to be an overnight process. This isn't going to happen overnight. And again, I didn't think it would take 2 to 3 years of Elite Man you know, just basically grinding away for fucking, let's see, 100 to 130 weeks, you know what I mean? Doing this every week for 100 to 130 weeks, that's 2 to 3 years. I didn't think it, you know, 100, 150 weeks, even if you're counting the three years. So 100 to 150 weeks of grinding away at this. I did not know that it would take that long, but I knew in my mind that it would be a process. It would take a while. And I was committed to the grind. I was committed to dedicating, you know, however long it took. You know, if I was still doing this, if I did this for 20 years and I wasn't making any money, at that point, I'd probably be like, all right, this isn't fucking happening. I should probably just drop the Elite Man thing. As it turns out, it took 2 to 3 years and that was perfectly within my time frame to be content with continuing with my dream. You know, after the 5 year mark or so, I probably would have started questioning things, but you know, luckily it started to turn around year two or three. But, so knowing that ahead of time, I even knew back then that it was going to take a while, and I was committed to it, and I was going to do it. I wanted to do this. I wanted to have a resource where I gave shit back to people, to specifically guys. I wanted to have a resource where I created things that helped other guys out. And that's dating advice, that's confidence, that's health, that's fitness, that's style, that is entrepreneurial now, online business geared, you know, business advice, sales, whatever, you know, all that stuff now. We encompass so much shit. Whatever it means to be a man in 2018 and going forward, we talk about it. And you know that. You listen to the podcast, you know that. But I wanted to have that one resource where it was like, all right, I got all this shit when I was younger, when I was going through all this stuff, when I was depressed, when I was anxious, when I was getting 3 to 4 panic attacks a week. I had to go out and find all this shit and cherry pick this stuff. And man, in that process, there was so much misinformation. There was so much terrible information out there. There was so much information that threw me down the wrong path, and that led me to doing things and to thinking things that were wrong, that just didn't sit with me, that weren't right for me. And I wanted to filter all that shit out and just give you guys, or give anybody, really, you specifically now because you're listening, but anybody, I didn't know, you know, who's going to be listening, any man out there, I wanted to give you guys the right information, the information that actually works, the legitimate information of what it means to be an elite man, what it means to be your best self, what it means to take things to the next level. And that's what I think I've done in the last few years. The dedication I put into this, it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of it hasn't come easy. It hasn't come overnight. It's taken a while, to say the least. But I'm really proud of what we've done here. I'm proud of the work I've put in to make this thing happen and to see this dream through. And I'm going to continue to do that, but I just want to let you know that, you know, it's a process. No matter what you do, don't look at, you know, the success of the Elite Man podcast or the success maybe that I've had and think like, oh, you know, he kind of figured this out easy. Why am I not figuring it out? Why is it taking me 2 years to figure this out? Why is it taking me 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 years to figure my shit out? Don't look at it like that at all. Look at it like, you know, for this one thing that I did, it took me 2 to 3 years to really figure it out. For something else I do, it might take me 5, 10, 20, 30 years to figure that out. But I'm doing what I love, and I want you to do what you love too. I want you to go down and take that right path in your life. I don't want you to sit back 30, 40, 50 years from now and look back on your life thinking, shit, you know, I should have listened to Justin back then. I should have fucking did something with my life. I should have did something I really enjoyed, did something that I really wanted to do. RX Bar believes in the power of transparency and lets the core ingredients do all the talking, with all of them listed on the front of the packaging. You'd likely recognize RX Bar on a shelf. They're the ones who have egg whites for protein, dates to bind, nuts for texture, and other delicious ingredients like unsweetened chocolate, real fruit, and spices like sea salt or cinnamon. RX Bars are great for a number of occasions like breakfast on the go, snacks at the office, plane or train rides, bike rides or hiking, pre/post-workout snacks, and more. RX Bars come in 14 delicious flavors too, like mango pineapple, chocolate hazelnut, peanut butter and berries, chocolate sea salt, coconut chocolate, mixed berry, blueberry, maple sea salt, apple cinnamon, mint chocolate chip, peanut butter chocolate, and coffee chocolate, and seasonal flavors too. I've tried just about all their flavors at this point, and quite honestly, they're all delicious. But if I had to choose one personally, I'd say the chocolate sea salt bar is my all-time favorite. But try them all out for yourself and see just how good they really are. Also, RX Bar has just debuted an RX nut butter, which contains a few simple and similar ingredients like egg whites, fruits, and nuts. Each single serve packet contains delicious creamy nut butter with 9 grams of high quality protein. It's squeezable and spreadable and pairs great with fruit, rice cakes, pretzels, or straight out of the pouch. The nut butter flavors include honey, cinnamon, peanut butter, and vanilla almond butter. For 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/elite and enter the promo code elite at checkout. Again, that's rxbar.com/elite and the promo code is elite at checkout. This is valid in the US only. What would it look like if we all listened more? Listening to audiobooks inspires us, motivates us, even brings us closer. And there's no better place to listen than Audible. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, including life changers like The Power of Now, one of the most powerful self-help books I've ever come across. This book literally changed my life, and it was so much easier to absorb it via audio as opposed to trying to read all of its brilliant concepts word for word. Because even though I love reading, and still do, I'm quite honestly not that fast and can't absorb as much as I can via audiobooks. And that's why I love Audible. They've got all the best books and stories you could want and make it easy to digest scores of complex topics and ideas that would take exponentially longer if I actually had to read them. Also, Audible members now get more than ever before. Each month, they get three titles of their choice, one audiobook, two Audible originals, and fitness programs that they can't get anywhere else. There's never been a better time to experience Audible. Try it for free for 30 days by visiting audible.com/elite or by texting elite to 500-500. That's audible.com/elite or by texting elite to 500-500. You know, when we're little kids, we all have these dreams. We have these big, we have these ideals and these dreams and these hopes and these goals of what we want in our lives, in our future. You ask a kid what he wants to be, and you know, little kid, whatever age, four, five, six, seven, eight, 10 years old, even. You ask him what he can be, and you tell him he could be anything in the world, and he believes it in his mind. You tell him, even if he's a short little kid, you know, I want to be a basketball player. I want to be in the NBA, and that's his dream. You know what I mean? That's what he wants. You ask another kid what he wants to be. He wants to be an astronaut, and that's what he believes. And in his mind, he's going to be an astronaut when he grows up. You ask a little girl what she wants to be, and she says she wants to be, a supermodel when she grows up. And that's, in her mind, she's a supermodel. Or another girl says she wants to be the first president, and in her mind, she's going to be the first female president. Whatever it is, like, you ask little kids, in their mind, they believe what they say. They believe that it's possible to be whatever it is that they want to be. And you should still have that belief in yourself. Somewhere along the line, that belief sort of fades into the background, and all our confidence in that we can do something fades away. We have all this shit come into our lives, and we have these challenges and these boundaries and these walls and these safeguards that get put up to stop us from certain pains and troubles and errors and mistakes that we make along the way. And then we get lost and sort of that those dreams, whether it's one specific dream or a few different dreams of doing different things, get faded into the background, and we start to lose that belief that we can do things, that we can really be what we want to be. And we forget that, but it's there. It sits there all the time. It sits in the back of our minds, but for some reason it kind of fades away. We don't think about it. And then we get kind of, and then, you know, school comes around and they start kind of filling you with this dogmatic belief that you have to go to college and you have to, you know, get good grades to be successful. And you have to get the 9-to-5 to be really successful. And, you know, you have to do all this. They basically tell you, and that's part of the reason why it fades too. That's part of the reason why we lose that belief in ourselves that we can do whatever we want, because we start to listen to not just schools, but we listen to other children, we listen to our contemporaries, our peers, we listen to our parents, we listen to our siblings, who gear us into believing certain things. All our inputs from our environment condition our subconscious mind and also our conscious mind into believing things, and we adopt these certain beliefs and these fundamental ideas of what's possible. And that kind of takes over time. It doesn't happen overnight where we just lose all our beliefs and our beliefs in ourselves, but it slowly happens, and we slowly start to think that, yeah, the only right way, the only successful way, is either going to college if you want to be if you want to get a good job, or going to like trade school and getting a trade out of high school, you know, electrician, plumber, carpenter, whatever. And by the way, I have a ton of friends that are that have trades. I have a bunch of buddies that are carpenters, a bunch of buddies that are electricians, a bunch of buddies that are plumbers. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being a carpenter, plumber, electrician, or having another trade, mechanic, whatever. They actually pay really well. And a lot of these guys make a shitload. Like, a lot of my buddies, you know, 27, 28, 29 years old, You know, they have houses, they're fucking perfectly happy with what they do, they have nice cars. You know, they enjoy it. That's what they wanted to do, that's what they signed up for, and they have a good time doing it. And, you know, there's nothing against that at all. For me, that's not what I would want to do. I would be fucking miserable doing that. I don't even know if I could honestly do that. I really don't think I could do that, because for a number of reasons, but I don't think I could actually do that, and I know I would be unhappy doing it. A lot of my friends, though, they want to do that. They're perfectly happy. They're very content doing what they do. And if that's you listening to the show right now, then don't fucking think that I'm you know, trying to knock you or I'm hating on you or any of that stuff, because I have so much respect for you guys. And again, it's not right for me. But if it's right for you and that's what you enjoy, then keep doing it. Keep absolutely keep doing that. Keep doing what you love, because you really love it and you enjoy it. Don't do it for the money, although the money's great. Don't do it for the money, but do it because you really enjoy it. Again, if you have to do it because you want to pursue something different, your real dream, your real goal, your real, you know, childhood-like goal of becoming something, of doing something, of creating something when you were older, if you have to do that to pay the bills, then keep doing that. But on the side, if you have that other thing that you really wanted to do, maybe some kids are young and they want to be plumbers, they want to be electricians, they want to be the best carpenters, that's fucking great. But if you're a carpenter right now and you had this childhood goal of you know, being an astronaut, of being a scientist, of being a writer, of being an entrepreneur, owning your own business, do that on the side. Go after it. You only have one life, and it's very short. It's very, very short. You only live once. And it fucking flies. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be on your deathbed. I'm telling you, as time gets older, it speeds up. As you get older, time speeds up. It absolutely speeds up. I've noticed it. It's a perspective thing. It doesn't actually, I think, really speed up, but your perspective of things speed up. And so it actually, in a way, really... I don't think it obviously technically speeds up. It doesn't do that, because it's the same for everybody. We all have the same time. But like, your time perspective changes as you get older. For some reason, there's something inside of us where it's like the days fucking fly by. Like 2018 is almost over as I record this. And it absolutely just flew by. It like incredible speed. Like this whole year just flew by so fast. I don't know about you, but as I get older, it speeds up. And even if it didn't speed up, it's still fast. Time flies. Like, we only have about 80 years on this planet, give or take. Some people, unfortunately, they die younger than that, which is a shame. Some people live a little longer than that, and that's great. But on average, you know, it's like 75, 80 years that we're all going to spend on this planet. And if you think about it, you know, a third of that we spend sleeping. Count that out right off the bat. 20 years of that, we're basically in school. 18 years, 20 years of that, we're in school, you know, not, so we're basically doing, we're growing up little kids, you know, whatever. We don't really remember things as we're kids. We don't have the decision to do things as much. We don't have that freedom to make decisions like we want to, probably as kids. So that's 20 years. And then like the last 10, depending on how old you live, but maybe the last 10, 15 to 20 years, you know, you're older. You're kind of looking at retirement at that point. You're settled down, probably not in the best of shape to do things. So like, right now is the time to do things. If you're listening to this and you're 75, you're 80 years old, I'm not picking on you. Don't think that at all. You can still do a lot. Trust me, you can still do a lot of things. And again, you can still hop on a different path and still be happy and still be content and still get that enjoyment every day out of life. You have to take action, though. Don't just, you know, because don't just think because you're 65, you're 75, you're 85. I don't know how many 85-year-old listeners we have on the Elite Man podcast. And if you are an Elite Man listener and you're 85 years old, please shoot me an email, because I would love to, I'd love to have a little chat with you. That is awesome. But yeah, I don't know how many 85-year-olds we have. I don't know how many 65-year-old listeners we have on the podcast, but you're never too old to make that change. I'll reiterate that one more time, because it is so important. There's so many paths you can still hop on. But if you're younger than that, there's absolutely no excuses for you to be in prime physical shape and mentally listening to a show like the Elite Man podcast and having the wherewithal to, you know, have the technology to listen to the podcast and take this information in and each week go through and take in all the information from my awesome guests, there's absolutely no excuses for you to sit back and think that, oh, you know, I'm 64 years old. Oh, I'm 60 years old. Oh, I'm 45 years old. Oh, I can't fucking do this anymore because, you know, I missed my chance 20 years ago. Oh, I didn't take that path 20 years ago. Oh, I should have did that 25, 30 years ago. You still have an opportunity to do what you want to do and do what you love. You just got to man up and actually do it. You really do. You have to stop making those excuses and you have to take that chance. You have to play the cards you have in your hand. And again, if you're miserable, if you're looking back at this, you know, that's not an excuse. You missed out on perhaps one of the hands you had before. Yeah, whatever. Happens. We all miss out on chances. We all miss out on opportunities that come our way. But you still have cards. You still have other opportunities. You still have chances. And you got to take them. You have to put them down and you have to take that chance. So again, going back to the poem, one of the best poems I probably have ever come across, and that's two roads. It's the two roads that you face, whether that's a life decision, an opportunity, a relationship thing, a career thing, whatever it is, you have two roads. Robert Frost took the right road. He took the path not taken. He says it not taken, but you know, he describes it as the path that had a little bit of wear. So people have gone down it. You know, you have your entrepreneurs, you have your writers, you have your authors, your poets, your artists, your painters, your actors, etc. You have those people, but they're few and far between. It's few and far between that you see the people who have the boldness, the courage, the audacity to actually believe in their belief in themselves, their childhood-like belief in themselves, to do whatever they want in life, to become whatever they want, to have whatever career or occupation or job when they grow up, to do what they want to do in life. Those are the people that are the most happy in life. Again, even if you don't make it, the fact that you took that chance is going to make you a lot happier in the long run, because you know you didn't just sit there and let, you know, you didn't sit on the sidelines of life. You didn't just watch the game be played. You're, you know, at the card table. You didn't just hold on to your cards because you're too scared to put up that bet, too scared to put your chips in and lay your cards down on the table. Even if you don't, even if you lose that hand, there's going to be other hands that come your way. But even if you lose that hand, you still played it. And you still look back on your life when you're on your deathbed, you're talking to your grandchildren, you're talking to your family. You look back and you look back in fulfillment because you still played. You still took that chance. Life is short. It flies by. You will wake up one day and this podcast will have happened ages ago, but it'll seem like it just happened a couple of days ago. It seemed like it just happened yesterday that you were listening to me, that you were listening to this episode, that you were listening to that episode way back when Justin said, choose the right path. It flies. It really does fly. You have to do what you love. You have to take that chance and go after what you love. Again, you set up some security measures. You set up some insurance measures to protect yourself. You have to set up the income. You know, you're probably not going to make money doing something right away. You're probably not going to be effective in going after that job that you want right away. You might. That's great. If you are, you know, that's great. But chances are you probably won't. So set that up, set up an income source, and then set up an insurance plan. Set up some other security nets of things that you could do if it doesn't go your way. And you know, if things don't go your way in pursuing your dream, you always have A to fall back on, or B to fall back on, or C to try, or D to try. You have other things to pursue, because you're not just so tunnel focused. It's good to have tunnel vision when you know that you have to grind away, that you have to put that work in, that you have to put those hours in and really, you know, bite down and just fucking grind away at making your dream, you know, a reality. That's great to have tunnel vision. It's great to have that, but you can't have that the entire process. You can't just solely focus on one thing for the entire process of trying to make it, because if you do that, you're probably going to neglect the insurance, the security blanket, the fall back on. And I know that there's that saying of, you know, burn all the ships and fuck it, I'm going to go after this. That's great, but I don't recommend it. I don't recommend that at all. I think it's great to, I don't think you have to do that. I don't think you have to burn your bridges or burn your ships and, you know, dive 100% into something, because if you don't make it, look at all the people who didn't make it. The most people, look at all those actors out there who are struggling that we talked about earlier. Look at all the actors who did that, who actually did burn the ships, who burned their bridges, who couldn't go back and fall back on an insurance plan, a plan B. Look at how they turned out. You can do it if you want. I don't recommend it. You can do it if that's your mentality, and if that's the only thing that's going to push you into actually going after this, then fuck it, go for it. But don't say I didn't warn you. Instead, I recommend to have A, the income source, so keep that, and then B, the insurance plan. Have other options, have other ideas, have other opportunities, have other things in mind of things that you can do if you try this for a couple of years and it doesn't work. Or if you try this for 6 months and it just fucking completely goes nowhere and it's not what you thought it was going to be, or it's not really what's driving you or pushing you anywhere. Sometimes you get into these dreams. Sometimes you have a purpose, a goal, and you do it for a couple months or even a couple weeks, and you decide that actually it's not really what you thought it was going to be. It's actually a lot different than what you expected it to be, and it's not making you happy. So if you do something and you don't love it and you're not happy, don't fucking keep doing it. That's just insane. Don't keep actually spending all your time, your precious time, the so little of it that you have, wasting away trying to do something that that you thought was going to make you happy, but it's making you miserable now. And you know, oh, it's my goal, I have to keep doing it. No, don't do that. Just pivot. At that point, you got to pivot. And if you have that tunnel vision, if you burn all the ships, if you burn the bridges, you're not going to be able to pivot. You're not going to be able to go back and do something else. You're going to be stuck. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be that actor who spends 30 years, you know, just doing backup cameo type roles and struggling and really struggling to pay rent, to put food on the table. Trust me, you don't want to be that person. You want to be the person who goes after their dreams, who tries to make it, puts everything they have into it, but doesn't just jump out of the plane with no parachute, with no security measure. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to get stuck. So, the road not taken. I love this poem. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere age and ages, hence two roads diverge in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference for me. I have taken the road not traveled by in my own life. And I took this road, let's see, probably, well, 6-7 years ago now. And I've told this story on the podcast a couple of times. I've told this one, I think, in the Coot Blackson episode, and I think in a few other ones. I know I've told this episode on interviews that I've done on other shows plenty of times. I've done, honestly, a shitload of interviews on other podcasts and online shows and whatever other shows. So I know I've told this one many times, probably a couple times on the Elite Man podcast. I believe in that Coot Blackson episode, it's definitely mentioned. But I'll mention it again because it's a great episode. I mean, it's a great topic, and it actually applies to this, like, you know, I couldn't have thought of any analogy that fits better than this story. And it's so 6-7 years ago. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, as you guys know. 6-7 years ago, probably actually, let's see, sorry, 7 years ago, about 7 years ago, I get a I take the Massachusetts what's it called, the correctional exam, whatever it is. I take the correction exam to be a Massachusetts state correctional officer. Passed the test with flying colors. I got like a 97 or something on the test. It's a long process to become a correctional officer, and it's like a 6-month process. There's a lot of screening they do. There's a lot of background checks. There's like 3 or 4 different interviews that they do. I could be getting a couple of these little details wrong, by the way. If you're, you know, a correctional officer, don't shoot me if I mess something up. But it's basically, this is the gist of the story. This is the gist of the process. It's a shit long process. It's like 6 months in its entirety. Again, 3 or 4 interviews, background checks, all kinds of shit. I pass all the tests. I do all the, you know, interviews and stuff. And I end up getting the job. After about 6 months or so, I end up getting the job. I do the job for a few days, and I fucking hate it. I absolutely hate it. There's nothing about this job that's appealing to me. I actually only signed up and took the test in the first place six months ago, way back when, because I was pushed into doing it by a few people. My friends, of course, because a bunch of my friends are actually correctional officers today. They actually enjoy, some of them enjoy it, some of them hate it. They just kind of do it for the pay, whatever. Hopefully they should listen to this episode and maybe get a change of heart. But, you know, either way, great dudes. You know, I actually got a bunch of friends that are now correctional officers and also police officers that I went to school with and that have friends, great people. But anyways, so I take the test. I was pushed into taking the test by a few friends who were doing it, a couple of people that are a couple of years older than me that had become correctional officers that you know, loved it and were kind of nudging me into doing it, saying it was a great job, had great benefits, great pay, etc. And also by family members, and in particular by my father, who really wanted me to become a correctional officer. He'd hammered home the point of the incredible benefits for a 20-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid, you know, getting 50 grand a year in salary was an incredible step up from, I think I was working at the time at Shaw's Supermarkets as a cashier, or it might have been right around being a personal trainer and kind of getting my first real foray into being a sole proprietor in the world of all entrepreneurship. So I actually did a personal training for a few years as well. But so it was either in, it was in transition. It might have been either or, cashier and at you know, bagging and cashiering at Shaw's Supermarkets, which is a New England supermarket store chain, or it might have been when I was personal training, getting my start into that. But either way, it was a huge step up in from, you know, both previous occupations that I'd had. And, you know, 50 grand a year or so, give or take. It had benefits, it had health insurance, it had, I think, 401k, it had retirement, all this shit. It had a pension, it had all that shit and more. And, you know, it was great. It was appealing on that front. But, you know, 20 years old, for some reason, money's never really been the thing that motivated me. You know, I've definitely changed where I'm smarter about money now. It's definitely not a motivator of me, you know, to me now, but it's something that I go after. I obviously, for some reason back then, I didn't really care about making money. I care more about making money now because it's a little more important, but it's still not the number one thing that drives me. Never has been, never will be. But I will say that I am more smart. I'm more aware of business and making money now, obviously, than I was 7 years ago when I was just a young kid, basically getting out of high school. So anyways, back then, you know, my father's looking at it. It's, you know, very appealing to him. It's a great job. It has all this money and benefits and all this other stuff. So he basically pushed me into doing it, convinced me into doing it. I went through all the steps, jumped through all the hoops, passed all the tests, and got the job and did it for about a week and absolutely hated it. And again, I always had this belief inside me that I wanted to do something else. I didn't want to do the 9-to-5. I didn't want to have that steady gig of just doing the same old thing every single day and not having something that actually drove me and made me happy. And so I struggled with making that change and actually taking that big step into accepting the role of, you know, having this new job where it was like a career. It wasn't just a job. It was actually a full career of doing this every single day, you know, 9-to-5 for the next 25 years of my life. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to dedicate that much time to doing something I didn't love. I didn't want to spend that much time doing something that didn't fulfill me, that didn't make me happy, that didn't actually motivate and drive me every single day. And so I quit after a few days. I quit after, I think, the first week, you know, a couple of days. I don't know, 2-3 days or so of it doing it. Maybe it was, you know, short week, I guess. So day one, I go in there, actually, and you know, the first thing they say is, and I had cut my hair very short, too. And, you know, I cut my hair pretty short, relatively speaking, compared to other guys. And I knew they wanted it to be really short because it's like paramilitary. It's like military style. But I walk in there the first day, And one of the drill sergeants says, oh, look at this guy, you know, look at his long hair or something like that. And he starts like giving me shit about my hair. And I was like, dude, I just fucking cut this thing. Why are you telling me to cut it even shorter? So he wanted me to get a buzz cut. He wanted me to basically be like, you know, a skinhead, so to speak. Like, he wanted me to have no hair. And back then, it was like, dude, I don't want to look like a fool. I'm one of those people that, you know, I take pride in looking well. And especially back then, 20 years old, it's like, you know, dude, I'm going out to you know, I'm hanging out with girls every week. I'm hanging out. I'm going out to the bar. I'm going out to the club. I'm, you know, enjoying life. And perhaps that was a little bit of, you know, immaturity. But also, you know, it was enjoying things. It was enjoying my life. What's wrong with a 20-year-old kid doing that? I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody doing it. I wasn't, you know, committing crimes, getting into trouble, you know, doing dumb shit. I was just having fun and enjoying things. And you know, actually, I was doing things that actually led into what I ended up doing, which was giving dating advice, dating coaching to other guys. So I was actually pursuing that. I mean, it wasn't, I don't want to sound all noble and, you know, but, you know, I was doing that. I was doing that gig. I was practicing getting good with girls and getting good with dating women. And, you know, I didn't want to sacrifice that. So the first day I go in there, he gives me a bunch of shit saying, basically, I got to get a buzz cut. I'm not the buzz cut kind of guy. I'm one of those guys that just looks fucking weird when I get a buzz cut. I got a buzz cut when I was in like sixth grade or seventh grade just because I wanted to try it. And I think a couple of my friends did it or something. I forget why, but I got a buzz cut back then. I look like a freak. I look like a circus freak when I get a buzz cut. So 20 years old, I certainly was not getting a buzz cut. And I would have did the job. I would have got the buzz cut. I would have looked like a freak for 8 weeks in that training program if I wanted to do it. If I actually wanted to be a correctional officer, I would have absolutely got the buzz cut and would have sucked it up and would have taken all the shit that drill instructor and the drill sergeants had to give me. But I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to pursue that. I didn't want to dedicate that amount of time, that amount of my energy, that amount of my soul, even doing the 8 weeks. I didn't want to even commit to doing that because I was miserable the first few days doing it. I knew I hated it. I didn't want to do the job in the first place. I only took the test because people convinced me to take it. And certainly didn't want to cut my fucking hair. I certainly didn't want to get a buzz cut. Certainly didn't want to do that. And I certainly, absolutely did not want to spend the next 20, 25 years of my life, 30 years of my life doing something I didn't want to do. Doing something that actually made me miserable. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to go against the grain. It wasn't easy to make that decision. It wasn't like I was afraid to make it, but I was certainly wary of making it. I certainly was not looking forward to the conversations that would follow the announcement of me, you know, stepping out of that job and passing it up. I didn't want to have those conversations. I wasn't looking forward to it. I didn't want to have to explain myself. But I sucked it up on that regard, and I did. I talked about what I wanted to do, why I didn't want to do that, and why I wasn't going to do that. And, you know, it sucked for a little while, but it worked out. It worked out in the end. It worked out great in the end. It worked out, you know, there was probably a couple of months where, you know, the family didn't really get it. The friends were kind of thinking, actually the friends probably thought I was a little crazy for a couple of years, but you know, the family supported it after a couple of months. They definitely thought I was a little crazy, I think, at first, because, you know, doing something that's totally foreign to what they know. And it was basically right after that too, that basically right after I quit the correctional thing, that I became a dating coach, that I launched the first website and became this dating coach and started doing all that stuff. So that path, again, was not for me. I look back at, you know, at my life back then, and it was certainly a pivotal turning point, a crossroads in my life. I could have taken that road that everybody takes. I could have taken that road that led down the 9-to-5 career gig, the easy security blanket of, you know, having benefits and having a pension. Is it pension or pension? I don't know. It's one of those words. I don't have a pension, so I don't know what the word is. but I could have taken that. I could have taken that road. I could have done all that shit. I could have You know, I could have did that, and but I would have been miserable. I couldn't have did that. Actually, I could not have done that because I would be miserable now, and I knew it back then. I knew it even back then that if I tried to take the security blanket, if I tried to make, you know, the easy decision, take the easy path, the safe path, that that it was the wrong path. That right now, 7 years later, I'd be miserable. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be doing this podcast. Wouldn't be recording these episodes. I wouldn't be talking to you guys now. I wouldn't be helping thousands of guys out every week. And, you know, in the past 7 years of doing this, coaching thousands of guys, literally, the past 7 years into taking their life to the next level and changing their life and, you know, overcoming depression and overcoming anxiety and overcoming problems with women and overcoming severe confidence and self-esteem problems and all kinds of stuff that I've helped guys with over the years. I wouldn't have done any of this shit. I'd be sitting in, you know, some prison somewhere and punching the clock and sitting there fucking miserable for 8 hours every day and you know, getting home and just thinking, what the fuck am I doing with my life? I'd be miserable, absolutely miserable, and just hating things. And so that wasn't the path for me. It was not the path for me. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy in the sense of facing others' expectations, but it was easy in the sense where, for some reason, you know, way back when I was little, I knew, even, you know, before this poem, the Road Not Taken for Frost really resonated with me when he spoke to me when I was in middle school. Even before then, when I was a kid, when I had these dreams of being something different, of having these dreams of being great, of, you know, doing my own things in life, I believed them, and that never really escaped my mind. That never really left me. It was always inside me, and I always kind of had it there where, like, I mean, you guys, you listening now still have that in you. Everybody does, but some people lose it. Some people forget that it's there. Some people have other shit that blocks it or masks its presence, and it's hard for them to find that again. But for me, it kind of always stuck around. And even though I had my, I tell you, I say this all the time, I had to go through a lot of shit, even though I had a lot of bad days, a lot of bad years before I found my path. I did have it. I had that in me to find it. I had the wherewithal to not give up on my dreams and not pursue things that I really wanted to do. And I did. And, you know, I'm so fortunate that I was able to do that. And it's not, you know, like I'm special and, you know, I have this great gift. It's like, no, I actually was lucky, and I had the gift of still being able to find that belief in me and not choosing that path when it came, when it was a critical time. And, you know, I got a little lucky. There was definitely some luck involved there. I believe I could have still have been persuaded into going down that path and still doing, you know, I probably wouldn't have lasted a while before I jumped off the path and said, fuck this, I can't do this, I'm miserable. But actually, I could have been persuaded, I think, if a little more pressure by, say, a family member or something, I think I could have been persuaded into going down that path and regretting it later on. Whether I would have regretted it, you know, a couple of months later and just quit then, or maybe a few years, I don't know. I don't know. So there was definitely some luck involved with it. But I've learned an incredible lesson along the way. I've learned to not, fortunately for me, I've learned, you know, I didn't have to waste more time going down a path. Because, you know, again, I got lucky and also just kind of took that chance on myself and said, fuck it, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what I really want to do. And, you know, I got lucky and I learned that lesson. I was lucky enough to learn the lesson of following my dreams and taking the right path. Even though I was kind of scared to do it, I was scared to, you know, confront others or be confronted by others. For taking that path, I still took it, and I learned that lesson. In life, no matter what you do, you have to take the path that's right for you. The path might not be right for a family member. It might not be the path that they see for you. It might not be the path that a friend sees for you, or a contemporary, a peer sees for you. It might not be what everybody wants you to do, or what they think is right for you, what you should do. But you have to take the path that's right for you, that you know in your gut is right for you. We all have this gut that tells us that this inner voice that guides us in life, and we have to listen to it. We have to listen to it a lot more. For some reason, for some reason we forget, or we try to cover that up or ignore the voice that's going on, the gut that's telling us, that's guiding us naturally. Well, you know, not to get religious or spiritual or whatever you believe in, God, or you know, you believe in the universe, you believe in whatever you believe in, you don't believe in anything. There's always, whatever you believe in, there is something out there that we all have, that, you know, I believe in God personally. I do believe that there's something. I don't really have a specific religion that I adhere to. Like, you know, I can kind of say I'm a Christian, but I'm a horrible Christian. I don't go to church. I don't do, you know, any of that stuff. I used to as a kid, but I don't do that anymore. But I do believe that there is a God. I believe that there's something out there. But you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe in what I believe. That's cool. I'm totally cool with that. You can believe in nothing. You can be, you can believe in yourself. You can believe in just the universe. You can believe in spirit. You can, you know, believe in God or many gods. Like, it doesn't matter. But there is something. I will say this. There is something that we all have in us that gives us life, that gives us that gut, that gives us that intuition, that gives us the energy to make our heart pump, to make our mind think, and to make us have this conscious mind to process and take in all this information that we come across day to day, to take in this information that I'm talking about right now. We all have that something, call it whatever you want to call it, but we have that something that guides us, the sort of greater power, if you will, the greater knowing of what's right. And you have to listen to that. You have to listen to your gut. You have to listen to that natural intuitive instinct, that inner voice that tells you, or that sort of nudges you and pushes you into the things that you should do, that you really want to do in life. Because it's, at the end of the day, it's really just what you really are thinking. It's not that something is like, you know, like God's telling you, oh, do this, like you have to do that, or like, you know, you have to fulfill his plan. It's not like that at all. It's more like, you already intuitively know what you want to do, but you have to listen to it. That's the key. You have to pursue that. You have to actually go down and pursue that inner instinctive type of nudge into your future, into making those decisions for your future well-being. So again, you already have all this information. You have it inside of you. But when it comes down to that path, when it comes down to that fork in the road, you have to make the right decision. You have to go with your gut and what you know is going to be right. Again, have the backup plan, have the income, but make the right decision. You know what's right. If you don't want that, you know, shitty 9-to-5 job, if you don't want to waste away doing something you don't love, if you know you're going to be miserable, then don't fucking do it. There's so many other things out there, especially in this day and age, this technological digital age we live in. There's so much opportunity out there. There's no reason, there's no excuse for you to, excuse me. There is absolutely no reason for you to think that, you know, you have like one option and that's it, and you have to take this job, or you have to do this career, or you have to, you know, pay the bills, so you have to, you know, suck it up for 20, 30 years. That's bullshit. You know it's bullshit. I know it's bullshit. I'm calling you on the bullshit, and I'm telling you to listen to yourself, listen to your gut. Make the right decision, take the right path in life, be bold, be courageous, don't let others influence you to the point where they're making decisions for you. You only have one person to control, and that's yourself. Don't try to control other people, but don't let other people control you. Control yourself, listen to yourself, listen to your gut, and make the right decision at the end of the day. Take the road that you want to take. Take the right path for you. If that means it's the road not taken, or the road less traveled by your contemporaries, by your peers, by your friends, by your family, then do that. If the road not taken for you is that, then absolutely take that road. Don't be scared to take it. Don't fear the failure of it. Don't fear the unknown of it. Don't fear what others are going to think of your decision, or what your contemporaries are going to think or say to you. You know, don't fear that. Don't embrace that. So say, fuck it. This is me. This is my life. I have, you know, 60 years left on this planet to do what I want to do. And I'm going to fucking do it. Time flies. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to be on the sidelines. I'm not going to not play my hand. I'm going to play my hand. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to be successful. And guess what? If I'm not successful, I'm still going to be successful, because I'm successful in just the fact that I went out and went after it. That's enough of a success. Putting it all in, going after it, and fucking going after your dreams. That's what it's all about. It's not even the outcome of goals really that matter. It's the pursuit of them. It's the pursuit of your goals that matter. It's the pursuit where the happiness comes from. The pursuit of your goals is where happiness comes from and really what it's all about. So that's really it. I mean, that's kind of all I wanted to get across from you today. It's a profound thing. It's a profound poem. It's a profound topic. I hope you got a lot out of this episode. Again, I want you to give me your feedback. If you enjoyed this type of episode, I'll do more of them. There's certainly a shitload of poems out there that I enjoy. There's a lot of profound stuff out there that I could talk about. There's a lot more I could talk about regarding this type of subject too, I believe. But, you know, that's the gist of what my career advice to you is. My best advice for you to make a big decision, whether that's career, whether that's relationship, to really take the path for you. Not really necessarily it's always going to be the path not traveled or the path that's less traveled, but it's always going to be the path that's right for you. So the path that you enjoy yourself, how to choose the path that's right in life and live with no regrets. That's really what it's all about. So when it comes down to just choosing the path that's right for you, blocking out all the noise and all the other people who are telling you shit that is not right for you or that's going to steer you into taking the wrong path, but actually just listening to your gut and your intuition and going down the right path. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Again, Robert Frost, great poet, incredible poet, and an incredible poem. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you guys think of this episode. Justin@EliteManMagazine.com. I really want to hear your feedback. Also, if you are that 85-year-old guy, if you're 75, you're 65, shoot me an email. I want to hear from you. Let me know what you're going through right now in your life. Let me know what decision you're thinking of making, or a decision that you might have made in the past, or a decision that you're currently undergoing right now and that you have to make. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on the podcast, on the episode, what you guys think of it. These solo episodes, they're fun. I enjoy them. As you can tell, my voice is actually, you know, starting to take a hit right now. So we are wrapping things up anyways. It kind of started to take a hit probably, you know, about 10, 15 minutes ago. But I didn't actually put a water next to me, which is I'll have to do that for the next one, because I should have taken a couple sips of water because my throat is starting to burn, literally starting to burn right now. But shoot me an email. Let me know your thoughts, feedback. Justin@EliteManMagazine.com. Also, you can find me on Instagram @JustinStenstrom and Facebook @JustinStenstrom, or friend me on Facebook and shoot me a message on Facebook. But the best way is probably email. Second best is probably Instagram message. And then the third best is the Facebook. But do it on all. Shoot me a message on all. All right. So I love hearing from you. I love getting your feedback. Also, I've been saying this recently too. If you love the Elite Man podcast, one of the best things that you can do to help support the show is simply tell some of your friends about us. Tell your best friend, tell your coworkers, tell the people you come in contact with throughout the day, whether that's the subway, the bus, the coffee shop you stop at, the grocery store, whatever it is. Tell your friends, tell someone, tell one person, tell 10 people, tell 20 people about the Elite Man podcast. Spread the love, spread the word, spread the message. You help me out a ton by doing that. You really do. I just want to get the message, the Elite Man message, the message of becoming the best version of yourself, best elite version of yourself, whether man or woman, really. But, you know, for these purposes, it's Elite Man. So the best version of yourself, becoming the best man you can be. I want you to share that with your friends, barbershop buddies, gym buddies, of course, work buddies, whatever. Just tell one person, tell 10 people, tell 100 people. Write it on your Facebook. Share this on Facebook with your Facebook friends if you can. On Instagram, whatever. Tag me on Instagram. Just spread the love. Spread the message. It helps me out. Helps us rank better on iTunes when we have more subscribers, when we have more listeners. And it helps. I think what we're doing here is really great. I think we're helping a lot of people out. So on that level, it helps the world out. It helps the world be a better place. And we have more elite men walking around. We have more men who actually know how to be real men, how to be good men, how to be great men in this world. When we have more of those guys walking around, the world is a better place. So you're helping me out, absolutely. You're helping the show out. You're helping yourself out by spreading that message. And, you know, in a way, you're definitely helping the world out. So take care. Continue to be an elite man. Let me know your feedback again on the episode. And I'll talk to you soon. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, but I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Continue to be elite.
Alright guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode, but before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds. Absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.